Welcome to Bethel's weekly podcast on Luther's Small Catechism. We are exploring today the Apostles' Creed, Third Article, Part 3. So Jill, would you please read what's in the box on page 222?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. Today, we're focusing on this paragraph, that on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. And the central thought is that all people yearn for a better future and hope that things in their lives and then the world will improve.
So we're going to talk about what happens after you die in a little bit when Christ comes again. So that's called the last day or the judgment day. So let's read Acts 24, starting with verse 14 through 21. It's found on page 1484 in your student Bible.
But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection, both of the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult, but some Jews from Asia. They ought to be here before you and to make accusation, should they have anything against me, or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council, other than this one thing, that I cried out while standing among them, it is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day.
Okay, so Paul is before Felix at Caesarea. He's in custody, and he has been accused of stirring up some trouble. And what was the trouble? He believed in the resurrection from the dead.
Right.
So let's explore that. Maybe you and I have grown up with that idea, but for a lot of people in the world, they wonder if there is something after death. Some believe there's nothing, just the abyss. You go into nothingness, or you re-atomize into the elements that are part of the universe. And some other religions will talk about maybe being reincarnated in another cycle of birth and re-life. But we are talking about the resurrection from the dead. So that's something different. And let's start with question number 219. It's on page 223. So, Jill, would you please read that?
What will happen when Jesus returns visibly? God will raise me and all the dead.
All the dead.
Yeah.
Now, immediately what comes to mind, I have to admit, is like, you know, we have a lot of zombie movies out there. The Day of the Walking Dead, but this is different. This is different. So let's keep on reading. Let's read some of the scriptures that are in there. That's paragraph 748, Job 19, and John 5.
This is a beautiful one. For I know that my Redeemer lives, And at the last, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. John 5:28-29 say, do not marvel at this. How can we not? But do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
So we have this word image where Christ will come and we will see him face to face in the flesh. Right. Now, what is the flesh? Well, we have a resurrected body. So we're still asking the question, what does that look like? It's because bodies decay. Today, we cremate
right.
a lot of dead bodies. So people are wondering, well, how does that work? And if you're lost at sea or bones coming together. So face to face, flesh to flesh, and a resurrected body.
I have a couple of things. Like I had a Jewish friend who really struggled with that her sister had been cremated because it was not part of their faith. And my thought was, don't you believe that God can resurrect her? And I could just see the struggle in her eyes. And I know that we have verses in our Bible that say that Jesus telling, that one of the guards telling Jesus, get your people to be quiet. And him saying, if I told these people to be quiet, the very stones would ring out calling his name, that God could raise up descendants from out of stones.
Yeah, so the comforting verses, yeah. when you think of creation, is that God spoke. And this is called creation out of ex nihilo, which is a Latin term for out of nothing. God just said, and it became.
Well,
so because it's not like God created something and then out of creation created.
Right. And even the creation of Adam, that God created Adam out of clay, out of
or
earth,
dust. And what is dust? It's particles.
Yeah, ashes. And that the whole universe, so that God has infinity at his fingertips. So so that isn't...
So the answer to your Jewish friend was,
right.
yes, no worries. The Lord's got this. He can create out of nothing.
Exactly.
Now, I would commend to you who are listening that we read 1 Corinthians 15 on your own, but that's one chapter that talks a lot about the resurrection. And the argument that Paul is making is that the resurrected body will be different from the earthly body that we have now, and it has to be. So that he talks in the metaphor of just like when you change clothes, you have to change this body for a new one. This body is mortal, and the one that we will receive will be immortal. So something, you know, our closest recollection, or the only image that we have really is Jesus, who was raised on the third day. Somehow the disciples recognized him and yet didn't. And he was able to appear and disappear. And so he's something different, and we will be too.
I had a lot of difficulty thinking or speaking about this kind of thought. It was scary when I was younger, and probably a lot more recently until probably some Bible studies, but also seeing what God does in nature and what God does with a seed and how a seed is planted and it looks nothing like what the fruit is, what the tree is, and what the plant is. And so the idea of we generally bury our dead. Sometimes the ashes are scattered, but to think of our bodies planted in ground in the ground, and then to think of the resurrection as a new plant being raised up. Now we don't know, you know. Yes, we have pictures of the stories of Jesus being raised, but the idea of what will God do with that body, or a caterpillar coming out of the cocoon as a butterfly, you know.
Oh, completely something different.
Right, that...
Maybe. That's not for sure.
No.
The word that Paul uses is metamorphosis or transformed.
Right.
Our bodies will be transformed.
But it's made it... Not to say our human bodies will be that of a plant or that of a butterfly, but to say, oh, God made something new out of those things.
Well, I think what is key, because this could be a rabbit trail.
Yeah.
Is that our souls are intact.
Yeah.
So who we are in our essence still remains in whatever transformation is happening. So it's not like we lose consciousness and become something totally other. We're still ourselves in some capacity. So let's skip through the passage here because we do have to wrap this up. But this is a very interesting discussion. Just some highlights I want to point out on question 220, Philippians 3, is that our bodies will be transformed. They will be like Jesus' resurrected glorious body. And then a lot of people ask, well, why do we have to die? And they wonder, what would have happened if Adam and Eve had not sinned? Would we still be living? And the answer to that is maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
What we do know is that death is the terrible consequence of sin. So that's question 222. Now, a lot of people want to know what happens when I die. You know, I believe in Christ, and what happens? And so I think it's fruitful to talk about 223 just for a little bit, just to point out some things that when you die, your spirit's disconnected from your body, but your spirit's in the presence of Christ in heaven. Where is heaven? Well, heaven is the place where God dwells.
Right.
So you're just simply with God in a spiritual form until the resurrection, where you get some kind of new body. So let's talk about what happens on that last day. And so now we're talking about a sequence of events. That's 228. And as we kind of punch through this, is, well, Jesus returns visibly. It's not going to come in secretly. Everyone's going to see. The dead will be raised. That's got all the dead, not just some, but all
right.
of them. There'll be a great judgment. And I know that can be concerning for a lot of people, like, well, do I get in or not? There's a lot of movie scenes that are talk about judgment and weighing the scales.
Right.
But I think we just depend on God's grace and his love and his mercy, knowing that he's a fair and righteous judge. And that we know that God is a God of love revealed through Jesus. So I think that's what you put your faith, your hope, and trust in.
And we do our best to share what we know of God's love with other people so that they can have that too.
Yeah. So just talk about Jesus and the hope that we have in Christ. You are not the one who puts people in heaven or in hell.
Right.
That belongs to God. So our job is to be the messenger. But I'm looking forward to that judgment. It evidently, Satan will be vanquished and banished forever. The current creation will be cleansed and made new, and we will be reunited with those who have died before us. And then something called eternity. We'll experience a great feast with unending rejoicing, and we will live and dwell with God forever. It's pretty amazing.
All of it, yeah.
I hope these things will become important to you, especially as loved ones that you know are aging, and you may witness even their death. And one day you too will be faced with death. And I hope that, as even for me, that when that day comes for me, that I will cling to these promises and these images and will have hope.
I also like the reminder that no one knows the last days, only God.
So, right, yeah, they all wanted to know, when's the exact day and time?
So, yes, there are signs, there are things that we'll see out there because there are signs, and we are living in the last days, so we will see those things. But I had someone when I was in grade school saying, oh, when you're in middle school, this will be the date and the time. And that was really scary. And it didn't happen. And, you know, yes, there are amazing things to look forward to. But while we're living, you know, let's live for the purpose that God has for us.
That's a good word. You know, people have asked, would you like to know the exact date and time and how you're going to die? I don't think I would. I know I'm going to die someday, but right. I think I would just rather focus on life.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, having that in the back of my head that, hey, the apocalypse is going to come when you're in middle school. Like, no, that was scary.
Well, technically, we have been living in the last days for right. about 2,000 years.
Right.
Which means that since Christ came, we're just waiting for his second appearance.
Yeah.
And the biblical writers say that could happen at any time, so just be ready.
Yeah.
So, Jill, would you read the prayer on page 230?
Holy Spirit, Lord, and giver of life, you have brought us to Christ, and by his gospel, you promise us the final victory over sin, death, and the devil. Keep us firm and confident in the knowledge that on the last day you will raise all the dead and give eternal life to us and the believers in Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So next time we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Love.